record, Kev.
All right, we're rolling, brother.
Perfect. Okay, great. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in once again. It's Augustino's Lloyd. I'm here with my co-host, Kevin.
Hey, everybody.
Lyons, and we're here with our guest today, Greg Wilson. Did you still go by V. Greg?
Actually, no. I recently rebranded to Greg Romero Wilson.
Greg Romero Wilson. Yeah. Is your middle name?
Yeah, because I'm, well, because I'm Hispanic. It's actually my mother's maiden name. Oh. She's Romero, and my father was Calleros, but then was adopted and became a Wilson. So I'm very Mexican, but I wasn't able to be Mexican because my last name was Wilson. And so here's what happened. I wanted to do it as an actor because I spent so much time building the Greg Wilson as a comedian. But that never played as an actor. Going into an acting audition as the Greg Wilson, you're already like, okay, the Greg Wilson. Like, they're throwing you out immediately. And so I had already not been using it as an actor, just Greg Wilson. And a lot of the stuff I was reading for were Hispanic roles, and I was going in there losing them because I was Greg Wilson. And I had to spend 5 minutes every audition explaining to them, no, I'm Mexican, my father was adopted, that means a Wilson, it's supposed to be Calleros, Romero. So it was...
Birth certificate.
Right, and then no matter how much they liked me, you know, it would get to network, and then the explanation would fall apart. You know what I mean? Like, they'd be like, so we now have to explain this to the media, that he is Mexican, but his name is Wilson. So the whole thing was very convoluted all the time.
Well, I remember for stand-up, you started as the Greg Wilson because there is a famous
Greg Wilson magician. Right.
Which, like, I tried to Google you today to try to be like, okay, so let me see what Greg's been up to lately because we're going to have him on the podcast. And, of course, that other Greg Wilson came up.
Right.
And it went like, as soon as you typed in Greg Wilson, it said net worth. You know how when you type in a celebrity, it always goes net worth?
And Are you serious?
What's Greg Wilson?
Tell her. What's Greg Wilson? And it was the magician.
And it was then it said like 2.something million. And I was like, damn, Greg.
Greg's doing all right.
We'll record over at your house.
Yeah.
So now it's Greg Ramon Wilson.
Romero.
Romero.
Sorry, why did I say Ramon?
Ramon.
Listen.
Although I'm a porn star.
I like Ramon better.
I should
better.
Be Ramon, like nothing else.
Listen, I've literally just known you for Ramon. 9 years. I've known you for nine years as the Greg Wilson.
I know. And people still introduce me as the Greg Wilson. That's all fine.
Who cares?
Totally. It's just a name at this point. I mean, and it became... The thing is, Greg Romero Wilson started booking TV work. And
Got the little mustache too now?
The mustache thing. Okay, we'll get into that next. Okay. Because the Greg Romero Wilson and the agents were like, listen, it needs to be uniform across the board. We can't have you going out for auditions, Greg Romero Wilson, and then us trying to convince them to go see the Greg Wilson perform.
Gotcha.
So they wanted all uniform. I was like, I agree with this. And to be honest, I had been wanting to drop the thing for a while.
Really?
Because to me, the Greg Wilson was this brash young comedian who was fucking, you know, kicking in doors and fucking, I'm the Greg Wilson, motherfucker!
Very arrogant.
Very arrogant.
But not only that, people won't read it as the, they'll just read it as the Greg Wilson.
Right, which is fine. Either way, I just didn't feel like that's who I was anymore. You know? I felt like a much more settled older guy. And so it was just something I wanted to set down. And so when they were like, oh, we got to make this all uniform, I was like, fine, do it, please. Cut the head off this thing. So for me, it was a pretty easy
transition. You ever consider dropping Wilson? Just for acting?
No, because, you know, that is my last name. Yeah. So, you know, the Romero thing is as far as I want to go with that thing.
Okay.
You know, now the mustache thing was one of those things where I just hadn't shaved for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And then I got a Latino audition where they needed, where they want, the characters was supposed to have a mustache.
Oh, perfect.
So I thought, okay, well, I'll just shave around it.
Uh-huh.
And I did, and
it's kind of working.
And they really liked it and everything. Now, I got beat by a guy that had a much thicker mustache. It was a far more matured.
But these little glasses, you look like a little scholar.
Well, the glasses, you know.
I want to give you like a pen with a feather.
It's called a quill.
Right, it is called a quill.
Yeah.
For comic effect, I call it a pen with a feather.
Yeah, it's nice. So it just was a change. It's something I'm, you know, my brother Christopher's been working as Christopher Romero Wilson forever as a director. And so I really kind of just joined his band.
Your brother's a director?
Yeah.
Direct anything that we would know?
No, he does mostly theater in New York.
Oh, very cool.
But he has done a few independent films.
Nice.
So, but limited acclaim.
Did you just turn down his mic?
No, I turned yours up.
Oh, okay. Just to keep up with Greg.
Because you're never consistent. You're just like,
At your apartment, Greg, are you constantly getting neighbors banging on the door telling you to be quiet?
No, my fiance does that.
She tells you to keep it down.
All the time. She's like, Greg, the window's open. Yeah. You know, so I...
But you're just getting all fired up.
The thing is, I'm used to it. Like, it used to bother me when people tell me to be quiet. But many, you know, I mean, I'm sure it was somewhere in my 30s. So I wasn't like a young man. But at a certain point, I was like, Greg, you're loud. Okay, if someone says be quiet, you should probably just take the note. So now I like, oh, sorry, yes, of course, sorry, sorry. I realize, yes, it is me.
But 30 seconds later, you forget.
I totally, I have no volume control. I'm third of seven kids. I only go to 11.
Wow.
Yeah, you want to talk Mexican, third of seven, okay? It's a real thing.
Sorry, I keep coughing. I got some of my margarita stuck in my throat. We literally are sitting here watching Greg get fought over by two comedy clubs right before we hit record.
Yeah, man. You know, when you're, it's a tough thing because as a comedian, I'm a working class comic. Mm-hmm. You know, I headline the B rooms. Mm-hmm. I don't have the big, you know, to get into the A rooms, it really isn't about your act. It's about the TV show. You know,
it's about the tickets that you can sell.
Right,
you which get comes a, from a TV show, a TV or show, et cetera.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always that one thing. It's usually a TV show or now a hit podcast.
Yeah,
or a giant YouTube following of some kind,
so, or a new mustache,
or a new mustache. But you got to have something that is your hit thing.
Yeah,
that people know you for. You become name value.
A big thing right now is a big thing right now is people that are extremely popular and they can sell seats, but they don't know how to do stand up, and so they
see that a lot with YouTube. We see that a lot now.
YouTube, yeah, exactly. And what's happening is that a lot of them are going like, well, how can I make money off of all this attention that I have? And they go, I'll do stand up.
Yeah, I'll go book a club. And the club will book them. Because they know that people will show up to see him.
I heard a lot of at Montreal this year, a lot of that was happening, mm-hmm. and they just couldn't follow the big heavy hitters.
Well, you know, because you have the management companies that have a lot of the solid names.
Do you blame them? They got to make a living.
Have been, you know, soaking up, they're vacuuming up the big numbers guys on social media, right? Because they want eyeballs. Do it. Yeah. They want numbers. It all adds up. But what it doesn't add up to is a good show. Mm-hmm. And that's the Hollywood conundrum. You know, Hollywood's far more about the business than the show. You know, New York is much more about the show than the business. Or at least it was. I mean, I don't know how it is now. I haven't been back in quite some time. But, you know, that's the way it was. And so it can be very bothersome when you're talking about art and business together. And your art literally means nothing. Especially, I mean, now we're in a fully quantifiable state, you know, of numbers on that YouTube page, or on your Tumblr feed, or on your podcast, you know, iTunes page, or whatever. So these things, it has become a pure numbers game. Now, for someone like me, I'm not about the numbers. I'm an older comic. I'm more about the craft. I'm about doing a great show. So I work better for B rooms, which are clubs that need a great comic because they can't afford to bring in names.
That's right.
They don't have the square footage for it.
Sure.
You know, that requires selling a certain number. You got to have hundreds of seatings.
Yeah.
We're talking about clubs with 100 seats. So for 100 seat, you need someone who has credits that they recognize, but they don't necessarily have to be a name they recognize, but they can build it on guys that really deliver the mail. So, you know, but occasionally in a market, you'll have more than one of these B rooms, you know, and that's what I'm dealing with now.
Was this guy who was just talking to on the phone? You don't have to say his name, but he obviously doesn't want you to do this other room.
It's one of those cities where, but and
there are club owners like that that will just go. I mean, we all know it.
Thing was, it's so funny because 2 years ago, this same club owner picks me up from the airport and we're driving, and he gives me this whole speech about he had an epiphany.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he realized that comics just need to work, and that it's not personal when they take a booking with another club, and that and that he needed to chill out on it.
Oh wow!
That lasted about a week, and then he slid right back in. No, these are mine; those are yours.
Yeah,
that's what drives me crazy. I mean, wouldn't they want you to book other clubs just because it helps build up your brand?
They want to control your brand in their market, which is fine. That's understandable. However, there are extenuating circumstances. You know,
this is Greg's.
This one's mine. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Keep going.
So in certain markets, there are extenuating circumstances. In this market, I feel like these two are very separate clubs. They're literally on the other sides of the... They're 40 minutes apart from each other.
So why would he have that big of a problem?
Because he thinks that he that the whole market pays attention to his club. And, you know, I imagine all club owners feel that way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's
They're
not
kind of very disconnected
true.
To reality, they really some are. Of them. I worked in a club, which like, I won't say which one it was because they both still book me. But I worked in a club, and then a venue nearby started doing shows. Not even a club, a venue, mm-hmm. a restaurant, started doing comedy shows that once a week that was very successful. I mean, they started getting names in there, and they were selling out week by week. And I went to do it one week, and I got a call from the club saying that they didn't want me to do it because it's in the same city as them. And so I know what you mean. Like, it's kind of... It's very ridiculous. Like, a lot of them are very disconnected from reality. I mean that was... I guess I could kind of see these were around the corner from each other.
But he was... But he's saying his is 40... The 40 minutes 45 away.
45 minutes away from minutes each away other. Like, so far.
Like, what the fuck?
And here's the thing. And I'll tell you how far it is. One night after a show... Because where the new club is in, like, an entertainment complex. And one night I finished the show at the original club where I was working. And people were like, hey, we're going to go over there because there's all these bars and restaurants and the other at this other entertainment. I said, let's go. And we're in this car. I'm like, where the fuck are you taking me? Wow. Like, we were in the car for so long. I was like, guys, how the fuck am I going to get back to my fucking hotel? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I
literally was like, are you just driving me to another state? Is there an Indian casino out here?
It was 45 minutes away.
It was 45 minutes away. And this is without traffic.
Oh, man.
45. And
especially
I was
in
like,
Los Angeles.
And I was like, this is unbelievable. So to me, they are so far away. There's no way.
How did you get
that? That people from that, they drove me all the way back.
Bet your ass.
I was like, you have like, yeah, to take me back.
Yeah, let's go back.
This is ridiculous. Where am I going to stay over here? It was so far away. Wow. And so this other club, and this thing, I'm friends with both of these owners.
Sure.
And they both are former comedians. Mm-hmm. So I know them both very, very well. And it's a very, difficult situation.
And you got to eat.
And I gotta eat. And it isn't even about that.
I mean, a guy's offering you a weekend job.
Yeah. It'd
be nice to take it.
Yes. And again, I don't see them as competing clubs. I know that this guy does right now because it's new.
Counties?
And so right now, he's probably very upset about it. But hopefully over time, he learns to see that they're not in competition.
Are they different counties that you know of?
I think so.
I mean, come on.
I really do. I think they are.
But like, I mean, it just feeds into that realization that you can't move forward without pissing people off, no matter what you do.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Other people, like, I mean, especially when it becomes a matter of like loyalty. But the thing is, I've been super loyal to this guy.
That's like flappers saying,
and
you
I've
can't
had like
do,
four other clubs enter the marketplace and try and offer me dates, and I didn't even go to him and say, "Can I do this?" I turned every single one of them down, especially one
because you knew it would piss him off.
Totally. Well, because I had a long-standing relationship with this guy. I'm like, I'm going to dance with him that brung me. This
Did
is
you not
a different
give you
tequila?
One.
No, I was going to have another one, yeah.
Because what I was reading from what you were saying, I mean, like, it seems like the other club was a new one that you haven't done yet, and you really want to go.
And I really want to do it.
And especially from a booker's point of view, if you're holding somebody back from doing a new venture, I mean, it's never going to end good.
Yeah.
It's always just going to burn bridges. You
well,
know
and,
what
then,
I mean?
And he like, was like, you're calling to tell me not to ask me. And I'm like, well, I mean, I want us to have a talk about it. But you know, I can't ask you. I'm not going to ask you permission because you're not my fucking father and you don't pay my fucking rent.
And he's not your manager, correct?
Yeah.
He's not your manager?
No. I mean, but he's a great guy. And he really is. And I love the guy to death. And I said that. I said, you never have to book me again, but I hope we remain friends.
So, I heard you.
I heard you, and I respect you for that.
Here's the thing. I heard you. You did everything right. I heard you on the phone tell the guy, because what would have happened was, and you were 100% right, this 100% would have happened. He would have said, like, how come I have to hear about it from somebody else?
Exactly.
And that always happens.
I can't believe you didn't have the decency to call me or something.
You know what happens? When they heard it from somebody else, they'll go, I wouldn't even have been mad if he would have just told me himself.
They always say that. If you would come to me yourself, I wouldn't even have been mad at you.
But you went to him and told him, like, hey, this other guy wants to give me the gig. And he's like, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
That's like when your dad was like, if you would have asked me first, I would have let you go to that party.
And you're like, no, you wouldn't have.
All right, Dad, can I go to the party?
But
no.
I do love this guy. I love this guy. And in fact, listen, I just gave him a recommendation that I don't even give my best friends who want it. I gave to this guy. because I love him that much. And I believe in him that much. I think he's great at what he does.
He's your buddy.
But listening from that conversation, especially with the way that you left it, that you said, you know, hey, listen, if you don't book me again, I understand, but I'm still your friend. Now, in this business, it feels like there's a lot of situations like that. Have you ever had to just burn a bridge with somebody?
I've never had to.
You wanted
but
to.
But I've done it so yeah. many. Please, I shouldn't have been.
You just reminded me of a story, by the way.
You could have called me the Greg Wilson with gas and matches because I used to love burning bridges.
Yeah.
When you're a young comic, you just don't realize how long the game is.
Okay.
And you have a very, you'll see, kind of attitude. Or I did anyway. I have that attitude.
A lot do.
Yeah, and I think everyone does because here's the thing. It takes a certain amount of ego to go into comedy. It just does. Uh-huh. You have to think to yourself, my thoughts are so brilliant. People need to pay to hear them.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, that's the ego it takes just to go to the open mic. Just say, let me try, let me see if I'm right about my level of genius. There's nobody that goes into comedy thinking, I don't deserve this, I shouldn't be. No, everybody in their heart, you have to think, I'm so genius, when I work this out, people will pay to hear me talk. Okay? So there's already tremendous, right? That's what it is.
It's such a funny way to put it. Hang on a second. Before we continue here, that's Greg Wilson, everybody. He's our guest today. This is a long-ass fucking intro.
We're in for a treat tonight, everybody. This is awesome.
Okay, so anyway. All right, I got to do the sponsors then. And then
we'll play the music and we'll start.
No, it's all right. Normally we do like a little intro. That was a fucking long-ass one, but it's not our first long intro that we've done. It's totally okay.
That's totally how every episode goes, just so you know.
Intros sometimes get away
Maybe
from me.
Maybe you should just do the intro and not engage the
I'll tell you why. Because
after you've done the sponsors. You immediately start interviewing me.
I've told him that before. Episodes start. You know, it's fun this way. You know,
episodes can kind of start boring sometimes, and I want to start with a little then we'll hit the sponsors while we're
okay,
got everybody listening.
In the second act. Okay.
That's
all I do.
I know, man. I love it. Hey, here you go. Buddy.
Cheers. Cheers, you guys. You guys, here's your podcast.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for being on. So, first and foremost, the most important sponsor to me is me. I got to get this out of the way, everybody. I will be at the I will be at the Ice House in Pasadena this Saturday.
Thank God you corrected that.
Yeah.
No one would have been able to decipher
in Isadena.
The Pasadena Ice House.
Okay, so, I'll be there on this Saturday. That's August 19th at the 7:30 show. And get your tickets for Ontario Improv. I am there the 24th through the 26th. The following day is the big Mayweather McGregor fight.
Nice.
That's this Sunday?
No. That's after my gig. That's the following Sunday. That's the 27th of August. So the 24th through the 26th, go to the Ontario Improv, guys. Get your tickets. I'll be there. You can go to Ontario Improv's website and you can get them there. So to the two sponsors, BenefitPackages.com, this episode is brought to you by BenefitPackages.com. They are a health insurance agency. Okay, so a lot of people, we all know them, especially comics, don't have health insurance. Tons of people don't have health insurance, and it just seems I didn't have it for the longest time. Yeah, Kevin Kevin does not still
have health
insurance.
I'm getting hooked up with them right now. I got a badass toothache. Right, that's why I'm drinking tequila tonight.
Yeah, good work, brother.
We're getting some dental insurance for Kevin here. I was a guy that didn't have health insurance for the longest time. It kept me from going to the doctor, even if I had problems. And people will tell you, well, just go. There's Obamacare. And you go, I don't even know where to get started with that. So you just don't go. So BenefitPackages.com is an agency. It's like having a lawyer for your health insurance. You're going to go speak to a professional. You're not going to talk to a robot. You're not going to hit prompts. You're going to speak to a professional agent, and they're going to walk you through getting what your insurance, and it may be free. They will let you know if you qualify for free health insurance based off your income, discounted health insurance through Obamacare, aka Cover California. You can get dental insurance through them. Guys, just do it. It's benefitpackages.com, 1-800-356-3615, 1-800-356-3615. You know the number. Call them, talk to a person. Get some help today. They'll steer you in the right direction. If you tell me you came from Parishioners Podcast, on top of it all being free, you're also going to get a free gift, either two free movie tickets or a Starbucks gift card just for saying you're from our podcast. Kevin got a free gift.
I did?
Yeah, you're about to, because I have it with you here today.
Yes.
It came in the mail today.
A new tooth.
Just for getting dental insurance, which, by the way, it only costs him $17 a month.
Wow.
He's got dental insurance.
And get a root canal now.
He's going to go get a root canal. And he didn't have to wait the 12-month waiting period that most dentists make you wait for having the insurance to actually have major surgery done. And you get a free gift because you're from Prisoner's
Podcast. Wow, that's fucking hot.
That's
man.
Fucking
good
awesome.
For you, man.
Yeah, there you go, man. So, guys, don't miss out. Go to benefitpackages.com. Don't wait any longer. Go ahead and do it. Anywhere you are, just go ahead and give them a call. 1-800-356-3615. Benefitpackages.com.
Benefit Packages. Oh, yeah.
Kevin wrote that jingle for them. Also, guys, a new sponsor that I'm introducing for the first time to the podcast is 818 Brewery. It's a beer company based in the San Fernando Valley. 818, hence the area code, Brewery. Sense. Have you ever tried their beer, Greg?
Oh, yes, I have, actually.
It's actually at a lot of
places. Yeah, I was going to say, the 818's at a lot of places. Yeah,
it's good.
A lot of
places it's now. Good,
they're coming wow. around. So they're hosting an event. If you guys are from the Valley like I am, I know this is like kind of limiting our listeners, but if you're in the Valley like what we are, there's a big event, Support the Valley. It's called the San Fernando Valley, the 818 Day. It's August 18th. And it's going to be held at Harry's Bar. That's in Woodland Hills. You guys can go Google it or just go to the 818brewery.com and you get all the information there. It's free to go. You can taste all the 818 beers, support the 818 area code, support your valley, and try some beer or go to a bar next time you're there. Give it a try. That's just a shout out I was asked to do for them, and hopefully they'll be a sponsor in the future.
Nice.
Perfect. All right, guys. We got Greg Wilson here. We got Kevin Lyons, my co-host. And we are officially starting this podcast.
Let's start it on time. There we go. Why did you choose this fucking song?
This song is badass. You got a problem with this song?
I love the long intro.
That was you. Oh, man.
Can I smoke weed in here or no?
I wish. Well, the song's going. We can run outside real quick.
Are you playing the whole song?
I bet I was not going to.
No, let's just keep going. We'll smoke after.
I play a different song every episode, by the way. Just you have to. I don't want anything to steal the song that I play every episode.
I'm sure you don't have the rights to this song.
Do I have the rights to it?
Yeah.
Of course not.
Awesome.
I don't have the rights to any songs I play afterward, but it's fine because we're talking over it. I don't play the whole song.
There you go.
But it's easy. It's easier when you record it off the microphone because they can't really get you for that.
Let's assume so. It sounds pretty damn good, though. When I listen to it, well, like, you thing, can't no, tell I'm just holding a phone
true.
Up to a microphone.
The algorithms like can't search
Got
for
you.
It.
Got you. That must be what it is.
Okay.
Kevin knows about algorithms.
Welcome you were a special edition of How to Steal Music in a Podcast. Yeah. You put the mic up to the phone, you let that baby roll.
So, the Wilson.
Yes.
Dropping the will.
Yeah.
You still say it. Dropping the.
Yeah.
I've always called you
You've
the
always
Wilson.
Called me the Wilson. So and great. A lot of people still do. A lot of people still call me the. It's not going to leave. It's not going to go anywhere. A lot of people still introduce me as the Greg Wilson. I'm not going to correct them and be like, excuse me, I've rebranded. First of all, as a comedian, you hate the idea of being a brand.
Yeah.
You just want to be an artist. And then you hate the concept of rebranding. Like, it sounds even douchier. Like, what is more Hollywood than fucking rebranding your person?
Yeah. You were awful. We have to change what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, Greg. What you're doing is good.
Greg, you
want to
know something?
But it's not great.
Do you want to know something, Greg?
What?
I still... Sometimes, every now and then, we'll get somebody bring me on stage, and as my credit, they'll say, "This guy used to work at the Ha Ha."
Well, that's what you were known for so long.
Back then, yeah.
We don't know why he left, but it wasn't good.
Shit.
Listen, we all told him, we're like, bro, at some point, you gotta fucking ditch out on this place.
Yeah.
Because you can't be married to one venue, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, the problem was, and I was just talking about this recently and with another comic, is that I was actually married to a person that I also didn't really like. And sometimes, as much as it sounds like a joke, but it is real, but sometimes when you have like a bad situation at home, the situation you're in, like where you're working, could seem better, even though, like,
by comparison,
it was escape. And then, like, when I had a horrible day there, like, I was just so sick of working there, I would come home and then my marriage wouldn't seem so bad, and vice versa. You know, and it wasn't until I got, like, all my shit together that I was able to get out of the marriage and then eventually get out of working in the same place and go just be like, I want to be an artist, like you said, and not just work for a fucking company.
Well, that's a nice justification. Really, you just made some bad
decisions. Were you talking about the comedy club or your marriage? And then I'm just joking.
Both were bad. And I want to make the other one look good by comparison. I'm like, this all sounds like you just make bad decisions. I don't know how this makes you
any... That's why we have a bottle of tequila on the table.
It doesn't seem to make you any less liable.
By the way, it's a Costco-sized bottle of tequila. Wow.
I know. I'm a bad person.
So, Greg, you came from writing right now.
Yes.
You write for a show.
For a show, yeah.
What show are you writing for right now?
It's a game show that's coming out. It's called Funny You Should Ask. And it's a game show for celebrity comedians. There's, you know, it's a trivia show, and they ask questions, and there's a panel of comedians, and then they answer punchline. Mm-hmm. So we create... We're content producers, is what our official title is.
Okay.
And we create the content.
What you were saying trivia. What's the trivia about?
In other words, you ask a trivia question, and then the comedians answer punchline.
Is it pop culture? Or?
It's everything.
Everything.
History.
It's just trivia, history.
Some Jeopardy shit right
this
here.
This is whatever we can find a good punchline for. That's what he wants up here.
You come up with the questions of the trivia as well?
Yeah, we work on a lot.
And the punchlines.
Yeah, we work on a lot of it.
Wow.
We work on all of it.
So you'll have to like say, okay, I want this for... This would be a really funny punchline, so let's...
Yeah, I mean, it's we create the content that's really... I don't know what I legally can say about it, but we create the content, and then it is the questions, and it's the...
Are you finding more often that you come with the punchline first, and therefore you will purposely ask the trivia question, or do you do the trivia question more often?
It's a little bit of both. Okay. It's a little bit of both. There's some magic to it, definitely. So, but I mean, it's always up the comedians, you know, they create their own punchlines. Mm-hmm. But then there's
the hidden magic.
Yes,
that helps them out.
Exactly.
Okay,
and so that's how that goes.
Okay, so I know how that goes.
I already love the concept because it's not like a regular game show where just random people are contestants.
Listen, let me tell you something. It's a daily show. It's four comedians. Now we're using all celebrity comedians right now. And I'm telling you, this show is going to be monstrous.
Who's the last person that was on the show?
The last, this, which was, I
last
guess...
last few guys.
I was say Wednesday, so it was yesterday. Who do we have? We had, John Lovitz is anchoring the show.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
Right,
man.
And then we have Louis Anderson and Carolyn Ray and one of the blue-collar guys.
Oh,
Ron White?
No,
Jeff Foxworthy,
the least of the blue collar guys.
Billingvall. I honestly was gonna say him next before you said least. Okay, yeah. I didn't mean to say,
but not that he's. The I don't think he's still great.
I don't think that he's the least at all.
He's probably show. Yeah, he's probably like the least individually recognizable. Like when you go down the list, you go
around
the cable guy, you go Ron White, you go Jeff Foxworthy, and then.
There's
Billingvall, but he's still huge.
No,
he's still amazing.
Besides
in
that
his own
sitcom
right.
that he had for a little while, he hasn't really been seen.
Right, and so he's still a huge name and a great guy. And we're lucky, and he's great on the show. He's fantastic.
Oh,
on
that
the
sounds
show.
Like a great show.
Howie Mandel's done a bunch of episodes. So
I don't really watch TV. Is that out already?
No, it's coming up. It begins September 11th. It's going to be nationwide. It's on two stations here in Los Angeles. It'll be on. You know, it's supposed to be mostly in the afternoon. In L.A., it'll be on in the afternoon, but on a channel called KDOC, which is like Channel 56.
Okay.
So that's where it'll be on, like, 5. But then on, like, KCAL 9, it'll be on, like, 12:30 in the morning, and then again at 6 a.m.
Oh, that sounds great, though.
Two quality. Of course, if you're up.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
No, it's gonna be man, great, it's Los Angeles.
But this
everybody's
show
up.
is going to be monstrous.
I mean, those are
and
a
it's
lot
a
of,
very hilarious
those
show.
Those are a lot of huge names, and you're a great writer and a funny writer. So, I mean, if this show
Thank
obviously
you.
Is going to have, you know, success, they'll probably
talent.
Move it to
and
a better
you know,
time.
That's the thing is they're creating great stuff.
Yeah.
The talent is creating incredible stuff. And so it isn't, you know... It isn't about that. So I've been very lucky. I'm working with big time talent, and you know, I'm working with other comedians that I love, and so it's
That's
a super
great.
Fun, crazy show.
And some comics
and these
you're
content gonna... creators, there's 16 comedians that you know are friends of mine that are also producers on the show.
That's great.
You know, so it's fun. I get to work with, you know, I'm working with Ben Morrison, who's one of my closest
oh, awesome.
Friends.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Morrison and Jody Miller, who I love to death, and Dwayne Perkins, who's
a great friend
of mine.
He's such a great comic.
Right, and so we're all helping produce this stuff, and so to get to you know, to get to hang out with these guys, you know, Jay Hollingsworth, yeah. It's great. It's great.
So let me ask you, being a part of the show, because there's so many aspects of production, what's your favorite part about doing this show?
Believe it or not, it's often shoot day because I rarely have to be down there. So it's peace and quiet upstairs in the writer's rooms.
Oh, nice.
In the producer's rooms. And so it's really about, so we get some we get some time to really just kind of take our time with what we're doing. And it is, you know, the rest of the days, you know, there's, you know, a lot of meetings and stuff. And so, and that's the thing for a comedian, it's tough because it's a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, especially with comedy, because you're always just writing for you.
Yes.
And now you're writing for a show.
Now we're creating a show, and it is very different.
So how do you balance the two? Like,
today I got a very special note, a note I've gotten many times. Greg, you're too dirty. because we were doing some dirty stuff on some risque. I'm not going to say dirty, but we were doing some edgier risque
stuff. But it's easier to turn it down.
And I crossed the line.
It's easier to turn it down than to turn it up, though. You know what I mean?
So, as a stand-up comedian, your job is to cross the line.
And you know my motto.
And you're going to.
You know my motto. You don't know where the line is. My motto is you don't know where the line is until you cross it.
Fuck the lines.
Which is a very dangerous motto to live by.
That is your motto.
But that is my motto.
I've always gone there. It's not true.
No, but it is true. It is 1,000% true.
For you.
For everyone. You think you know where the line is. Trust me, my man, that line's a lot further than you think.
Yeah.
There's also where they tell you the line is, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's where the line
is. Yeah, that's not true, too.
So that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
You honestly don't know where it is. You'll never know what's going to offend somebody. Until you cross it. That's now, when you cross it, now you know where the line is.
Yeah.
You could offend somebody that may not, other people may not get offended by it.
The worst is when a comedian has a definitive cross the line moment in his set where you could tell he does it every time. Oh, that's the line. Yeah. But half the time he does it like nobody reacted like that was the line. You know what I mean? Like nobody reacted. He's like, oh, that's the line. He's like, nobody gave a shit, bro. Keep going. Like, it's like, you don't got to say that every time, man. Maybe that's not the
line. Maybe the joke just wasn't funny. They didn't laugh.
Exactly. Maybe it just didn't land.
Oh, so now you guys are offended. No, we're not offended. It just wasn't funny.
Just wasn't funny. Exactly. It's like,
just confidently waiting.
I think you're using it wrong. I'm literally going until the line fucking... Until I see the line about 20 yards behind me, and then I'm like, I'm really in it now. It's tap dance.
I caught a lot of heat last week on social media, and I never would have thought that this would have offended anybody. But yeah. I'm retarded, I guess. I just implied that Taylor Swift didn't have an ass. So
you didn't tag Taylor Swift in it, did you?
I did tag her in it, but I did the hashtag Swift trial.
See, that thing is, I honestly believe, why tag somebody?
I didn't tag her.
Or hashtag.
Well, because someone I wanted
who you're
to see
shitting
it.
On.
Yeah.
I don't mind. You know, you want to throw shade. But if you hashtag them in it where their fans are going to find you, you're
not hashtagging them. You're hashtagging the topic.
Let's talk about the spotlight in America.
Yeah.
It seems like the only way for there to be. Here's the thing. Okay, let me back this thought up. It starts with, you know, the concept of Andy Warhol's statement, in the future, everyone's going to be famous for 15 minutes. And I think he was half right.
Yeah.
Everyone is going to be famous for 15 minutes, whether you like it or not.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? Because the spotlight has changed. There's very little positive spotlight. The only real positive spotlight is reserved. It's like handicap spaces. You want the positive spotlight, you better have been injured in some way. You better have been, you know, something horrible. You must be a victim for the internet to be like, oh, poor you.
Yeah.
Aside from that, it's all negative spotlight. That's the spotlight. That's pretty much what goes around.
You just happen to be an asshole in front of a bunch of cameras that day.
And the negative spotlight, people say that there's such thing as bad publicity. Fuck you. Wait till it happens to you. Even in the smallest increments, it's uncomfortable. And in massive increments, I mean, look at Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who's fed off of controversy her entire career. Boy, but when that negative Trump spotlight came to her, she fucking folded.
Uh-huh.
If you have named all the comics that have been attacked on social media so far, I never would have said she was the one that was going to fold. But that's how hot negative spotlight is nowadays.
Yeah, that's very true.
And so it kind of fucking sucks. Fame has never been more useless.
Mm-hmm. And now she has shaved her head to redeem herself.
Fame used to mean you could literally get away with murder. You could drown somebody. You could fucking kill a hooker, something. Oh, but you're famous. We got it. Don't worry. Get away. Now you can't even pick your fucking nose.
That's crazy.
Without it fucking being broadcast across the world.
That's insane.
Fuck fame.
Yeah.
So what are we doing this for anymore? It better be for the love of the craft. It better be to heal people's souls for an hour. Because if it ain't, well, they're going to be sorely disappointed.
Sorry, go ahead, Kevin. It also goes back to that when you're talking about crossing the line, because I feel like a lot of people cross the line. They just do it naturally because that's like their personality.
Oh, yeah, I'm a habitual line
stalker. And then there are people who do it to cross the line.
Right, right. Those you people that like, I mean? Poke like, the nest. There are people just poking the hornet's nest, and then they act surprised when they get stung. And it's like, dude, like, you're not even trying to be yourself or be funny or anything. You're just trying to poke the hornet.
Because the sting affects them the most rather than the people who just do it naturally anyway. Yeah. Because they're like, fuck it, I don't care. That's why. And people understand that. But it's just like when people do that on purpose just to get themselves out there, it's so obvious.
So obvious.
And you just you hate them more than the people who just do it naturally.
Well, and that's where we get the term trolls.
Mm-hmm.
Trolls are people just trying to get negative attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. Come after me.
Oh, yeah.
You know? They want you. They want to know that they affected you, the actual artist. And I say this all the time. You know, for a lot of times for artists, your best defense is silence.
Yes.
I hate it when someone directly hits back at someone. I'm like, you realize you're validating what they want.
Never
they
take the bait. They want
to know that you read it. And that you got hurt and had to respond. Now they're, oh my God, I fucking got to him. It's deflected spotlight.
It was
don't
like,
give him fucking shit.
It's like one of those.
That's the best attack.
It really is. It's your best defense is silence.
I heard this other really well-known comic that he says he retweets them.
Yeah, that's like judo. That's just taking their weight and just flipping it. But at the same time, you're still giving them what they want.
Never let them see
you
sweat.
Which is to know that you read their shit. If you never respond to it, then they have to sit there going, I wonder if he read it. He must have read it. He had to have read it.
Exactly.
He had to have read it. I fucking tagged him in it. He read it. Or somebody read it to him. He definitely read it.
That's so true.
Want them to sit in that.
Because that pisses them off the most is the silence.
The silence pisses them off.
Never take the bait and don't let them see you sweat. Yeah.
This guy I'm talking about is saying that he retweets them because most of the time people go like, well, if he retweeted, that means that he likes it. So does he not get that I'm offending him? And then what will happen is that his own people will see
attack
it
him, yes.
And attack them back.
Right, sure.
Which I guess if you're that
well,
huge,
if you have
great
that,
to
God
do that.
Bless you. Yeah,
yeah, seriously.
So that's like Beyonce, like, get him, bees, or whatever. And they all, you know. Like,
yeah, like, when you don't have to fight your own fights anymore and everybody just does it for you.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
like, I mean, it's a lot easier.
Be,
you
know,
so the writing job's going good, Greg.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
That's
I love
great.
It.
Yeah, I had you on today. We'll get into this in a minute, but I had you on today because something that's been on my mind and, like, a topic that
are you about to bring somebody out? Is it somebody I got pregnant with?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I was trying to think of somebody like who wouldn't you like that I could have brought out right now. I've taken on this new job, this writing job. I've been ghostwriting for a little bit here and there in the past, and so now I've taken on this new job, and it's for a show that's like similar to like a late night talk show or monologue type comedy writing, and it's made me having to do topical humor for the first time. And I have to read the news because I have to.
No, I hate that.
For the first time. And it's fucking kind of making me depressed. And then I thought, like, I know that Greg has written for a lot of shows. Comics Unleashed. Now this game show. Didn't you write for, like...
I've written, like, for National Lampoon and stuff like that.
What about, like, those VH1...
And all the VH1 shows. All the True TV shows. All those World's Dumbest Criminals, World's Dumbest Thrill Seekers.
Did you have to come up with topics that were going on right then for VH1 or topics that were going on in the 90s?
Well, usually they would, you know, they send you certain... I mean, for the VH1 stuff, they would always... Actually, for both of them, they send you topics. They'd be like, here's a bunch of stuff you can go off of. Now, you can create your own stuff to other subjects, or you just go on the stuff that they send you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times, if it's a clip show, they need you to go off of those clips.
Mm-hmm.
So you're specifically writing for those.
So you have to sit there and watch these clips
you have to watch
all day.
Yes, and the toughest ones were the world's dumbest, like, Thrill Seekers ones, where, like, kids were breaking bones and knocking out their own teeth and shit like that. And I'm like, this shit ain't funny, man. Like, I don't know how to be funny about this. Like someone called 911. Like, I don't know. It was fucking horrible.
Hard, right?
Yeah. Now, the ones where people are just, you know, doing silly stuff or slipping or whatever, yeah, that was fine. But some of them, you were like, there's no way this person didn't go to the hospital after this.
For me to go to the news right now is
mortifying.
It's mortifying.
Yes, like, it's depressing on a daily basis.
It's depressing and it's mortifying. And yeah, also, it's going to be what everyone's talking about. I don't want to talk about what everybody's talking about, yeah, because it's been done.
But you have to.
But yeah,
that's the job.
But not only that, everybody's so sensitive. Any type of joke you do in modern politics, you're just gonna get so much
and
backlash.
How can I make a joke? What the fuck's going on right now? It's not a joke. You know what I mean? Like, it must have been similar to what you felt when you were watching these guys going to the hospital. These young kids. You're like, how the fuck am I gonna make a joke about this?
No, you're right. Sometimes it gets too depressing. You know, it's very interesting these times we live in. I mean, I feel like we're getting closer to where you could make Trump jokes. But there was a long period there where the audience would just shut down the second you mentioned Trump. It's starting to loosen up a little bit.
I don't even want to pick a side. Like, I don't want to mention him on stage because I don't want to pick a side. I don't want to say that I like him.
I don't even want to validate him with more attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. What I mean?
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Like, we all know deep down, he just wants us talking about him everywhere all the time.
It's like those trolls, man. Exactly. Don't let the trolls know, man.
Exactly. And it's like, I would rather just not talk about him because I don't want to validate him. I don't want to, you know, it isn't about a fear of stirring shit up. Well, and that's the other thing is I think we also have to remember our role as comedians is to relieve stress. I know we all want to be important. We all want to be prophets. Mm-hmm. You know, we all want to be remembered as the great voice of the generation. But in the moment, we are comic relief.
Yes.
We are there to relieve the tension of the everyday. And for a while now, I felt like just put the Trump thing down, relieve them of this because we're so inundated with it at every other corner of our lives. And I think now we're starting to get to a place where people are kind of, I should say, scabbed over to the wound that is this fucking bleeding wound asshole.
To him, but not only now that, there's new topics.
People just want to escape just the thought of
him. That's what
it
is. They don't want to think about it.
They just
want to
escape
that come over them. Yeah. The second a comic is like, fucking Trump, right? You see this look come over the face like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it.
It's also, you know, it's not going to be funny.
Huh?
It's not going to be funny.
It might be funny.
If it's in the view that you believe.
It might be funny, but here's what it is. Everyone's afraid that there's even one Trumper in the crowd. Because even one will ruin the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just throw a fucking fit. We'll fucking stand
it's
up.
It's like we do a racial joke and that race is in the room.
But no, because even racial jokes, they can be cool that if it's a funny fucking joke. Trumpers cannot be kidded with. They lose their minds. They make everybody uncomfortable. They ruin everything. And so they do.
Trumpers.
Everybody gets triggered so fast.
So they go off immediately and they want to disrupt your show and it turns into a whole. Because I've seen it over and over and over again. I had a comic that was featuring for me in Vegas and he was trying to do the whole political thing. And on Wednesday, I pulled him aside. I said, listen, when you're headlining, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But you're featured for me this week. This is Vegas. Mm-hmm. People are here to party. I need you to set a party mood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't need you going up there and fucking making everything weird and then turning it over to me.
Whether or not he thinks that you were an ass, whether or not he thinks that you were an asshole at that point in time, maybe the next day or a week or a year or years later, he's always going to remember that though.
Well, yeah, and you know what? He had the capability, switched up his set, went to the fun stuff, talked about his kids, and everything was great the rest of the
night. Talked about Mexicans, you said?
No, talked about his kids.
Oh, I thought you said talked about Mexicans. I was like, well, that's always great, right?
Even that would have been fine. Talk about Mexicans. Just don't fucking do the political shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's headliner shit.
I don't want to do that shit.
You better be a headliner. You better be known for doing that kind of shit.
Or, here's what I'm saying. You better be paid to write about it because you're doing monologue, topical humor like I now am. And I'm being forced to it. If I wasn't, I would never write it about topical shit. I would never in a billion years.
Well, that's what they feed off.
I think of jokes about topical shit because it's in front of me and all day you're going, that's a good joke. That's a good joke. But am I ever going to stay on stage? Fuck no. It's just for me. You know what I mean? Like, why waste my time on something that's not going to be here next week?
Well, there's some guys that want to do that. And for those guys, that's their style. You know, it's like with...
There's
Stewart, Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart didn't start doing political comedy when he did The Daily Show. He'd always been doing that kind of comedy.
Just like Jeff Ross with The Rose. He had always been doing that type of, like...
Eh.
You know, like
not so much.
You don't think he's always been picking on the crowd and been making jokes about people, making fun of people?
I've seen him for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He does some other material?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
That was something that really kind of came along with those things.
Really?
Not to say that he's not great at The Rose. He's
sure.
Great.
No, yeah.
He absolutely
that's
is.
That's his
but
thing.
But I worked with him a number of times.
Yeah.
And I didn't see him much as a crowd work guy or a roast guy or anything.
Really?
At that time, that was really Lampanelli's corner of the market.
Oh, boy.
At that time, in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. You know?
Greg, can I ask you a question?
That was a question.
Yes.
Don't be that guy, Kevin.
I had some tequila.
And then I want to know what you think about this too, okay. Kevin. This is something that's been on my mind, and we're kind of talking about somewhat of a topic of you talking about, like, our job is comic relief and to get people's mind off things like that. Would you say, or have you ever said, or are you still saying it, would you say that you like doing comedy because you love making people laugh? Is that your purpose? Because most people say that's the reason. We say, why did you get into comedy? They go, like, I love making people laugh. It's my calling. It's my reason that God put me on this earth. Would you say that?
No. I mean, it's one of the reasons.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in there. It's in the mix
of
reasons.
How high up on that list is it?
I don't know. It's in the top five.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Because I do love making people laugh. I also love having people's attention. I love
there's a big difference with you.
Totally. I love being adored, and maybe people don't want to admit that. Mm-hmm. But
making
people
laugh is for them. Attention is for you.
Attention is for me. I love the attention.
But what about making people laugh?
I do enjoy making people laugh. I love the look. You know what? I love changing their life. I know what laughter does. I was there. I fell in love with it because I went to comedy. I was like, this is incredible. Now, to that point. You know, that first comedy show, I was 16 years old. My best friend was turning 16, and his parents, who are these two transplanted New Yorkers living in Dallas, took us to the Improv, and we went to see, and I remember John Panette was the feature, and Rocky LaPorte was the opener, but I don't remember who the headliner was. But, Rocky LaPorte actually Rocky was the feature, John Panette was the headliner, and the opener was this older guy who was drunk off his ass, but was delivering his jokes, was still hitting the jokes, but he was drinking a drink, clearly hammered, and I gotta tell you, I fell in love with it right then, because I thought to myself, oh my God, you can come drunk to work and nobody minds? This is the greatest job in the world! I couldn't believe it was smashed, and everyone was like, he's fine. Now, that was the seed and just the power of comedy, the laughter. Then, you know, I was always the funny guy, and you know, as I got older, I really wanted to be a serious actor. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be like, you know, fucking Dustin Hoffman and all those guys. But all the parts I'd get were the comedy parts. I didn't look like a leading man. And everyone kept saying, you're so funny, you should be a comedian. You're so funny, you should be a comedian. You're so funny, you should be a comedian. Finally, I was like, fuck it, I guess I should be a comedian. Why am I fucking fighting this?
So did improv first, too, right?
Right, and that's, yeah, I tried stand-up.
So acting
I did stand-up
improv
first.
Oh, okay.
Acting, stand-up, but then a girl I was banging took me to see an improv troupe. And I thought it was the Grail. I was like, oh my God, this is fucking
great. I was
going
to say that bitch.
You know?
I can't stand to watch improv groups.
Well, this is at the very beginning. This is at the dawn of the 90s is when it exploded. And this is at the very dawn of that. Like, it was just starting.
Those Impractical Jokers guys.
Like, stand-up
Did you know that? Those Impractical Jokers guys started as, like, an improv group?
Right. That's, I mean,
they all went to school together.
It blew. That's what it was. So it was, The State on MTV. Remember those guys? So the improv thing, that's what it was. It was it was just starting to blow up, and I had never seen anything like it. And then I saw an audition notice in the guide, the newspaper. This is 1989. And I was like, oh, I wonder if it's like those guys I went to see. And I go to the audition, and it was those guys I went to see. And then I got into their troop, and I was the youngest guy they'd ever had. I was like,
you felt
eight,
great.
I was 18. I was like, this is awesome.
Oh, you felt like the man.
Oh, shit. And then this troop
That's
was...
when the Greg Wilson
well, listen, this
first
troop,
showed his ego.
This troop was blowing up. You know, they were blowing up at the time. And then they opened their own club. And pretty soon, we were the fucking shit. We were like Second City, but in Dallas. And I mean, we had our own club. We did all these sold-out shows. And that's when I really started scoring pussy.
Really? An improv show?
Improv?
And, dude,
improv
again, chips? Keep in mind, it was blowing. It was the hottest thing
was
in town.
Was it real pussy? Or was it like imaginary? Oh, hey, dude, a pussy walks in the room. Okay, we got it. Was it? Like...
You know, I've always done better than my looks would tell me. That started there.
I've done some gigs with you.
I don't know what that means exactly.
I've done one-nighters where I'm just like, man, this is way before you knew your fiance,
yes.
By the way.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I was always able, and it started there because all these beautiful Dallas women, we had all the sports celebrities were coming down. Like, it was a big deal to come to our show, to come to our club. And then we would just lock the doors, fucking pour that beer, man. And we would have these crazy fucking after parties. Girls would be stripping on the stage. Shit would be going down. We'd be finger banging all over the club. It was fucking wild. It was wild. Everywhere I went, everybody knew me. I got into all the clubs. I was a local celebrity.
Wow.
And I was 19 years old.
You got hooked on that feeling.
Boy, I got hooked.
Yeah.
The juice. And that's when I realized there was a lot of pussy. And then I started doing stand-up again, but my stand-up was so dirty in Dallas, I just got banned from everywhere. So that's when I had to go to New York, you know, where I could turn it loose. And even they were like, this is way too dirty.
So you went Dallas to New York to to L.A., right?
Yeah.
Was that Nice. Out of all those three, I mean, obviously, what you're just describing in Dallas sounds fucking awesome.
It was
awesome.
Extraordinary. But the problem was, is I knew it was limited, both being in a troupe and being in Dallas. It's like, we're never going to get there from here, you know? So that's when it was time to pick up and move back into solo stand-up. I actually tried to have two different two-man acts first.
Wait, two-man acts?
Two-man acts. I had Greg and Linz. No, Greg and Greg. Me and Greg O'Rourke were the first two-man act, which is like a sketch stand-up hybrid. Then Greg O'Rourke wanted to move to L.A. I wasn't ready to move to L.A. yet. So he moved to L.A. Then I got with Lindsay Hunt, and we were Greg and Linz. And we were another two-man act. And we were super clean, and we tried to do colleges, and that fell apart. And then that act fell apart. I was like, you know what? I finally got to be the animal that I am. And so that's what happened.
I'd like to tell you a story I've never told you before.
Oh, this should be interesting.
No, it is interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So you probably didn't know this, but in about January of 2009, okay, by this time I've been going to live stand-up shows my whole life. Okay, I went to the Hollywood Improv, and that night was around the time I've told this story before, but never including you, and I never told you about it. That night was when they were remember the movie Funny People?
Mm-hmm.
With Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Okay, so that night they were having a bunch of guys pop into the Hollywood.
I remember this.
To work there.
Yeah, Aziz did his character.
Seth Rogen did his thing. And Jonah Hill,
yeah.
And also that night, Brandon T. Jackson popped in. They put him on the show. And at the time, we were like, holy shit, it's a guy from Tropic Thunder.
Right,
2009.
Right. Sure.
And then, it's a great movie. So they got all those guys out there. And then they said, the only reason I went there, I heard Adam Sandler was going to be there, but he didn't show up. So then anyway, keep in mind, I am 20. Mm. This is 2009. And I see the Greg Wilson go up. We'd never met at that point. And you went up and you fucking rocked it, bro. You fucking destroyed it. And then after you, they went, here's our closer. This was like a showcase type style show. They go, here's our closer. And I went, who the fuck's going to follow that guy? Greg Wilson fucking rocked it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Richie Aronovich went up after you. Little Richie Aronovich. Oh, man, who's now in New York. When he comes out here, I got to get him on my podcast. And Richie Aronovich was up there. And he was doing great. I'm like, wow, this guy's actually doing really good following that guy. I mean, keep in mind, I'm unbiased. I don't know either.
Right, you're just watching
people
perform.
And I'm just was like, wow, look at this guy, Rich Aronovich. Just like, he wasn't murdering quite like you, but he was fine. He was keeping up.
Yeah, he was doing well.
And then he fucked his hair.
Yes.
Which Rich Aronovich used to.
The porn.
Is he still? Yeah. I don't think he still does
it. I don't know if he still does it, but
he had this Jufro.
He had been doing it since
and the, he used
the
to go,
open mic day.
He used to go, you guys ever see my impression of 70s? Or something? Yeah, 70s style horror. And he would take the microphone and just fuck it in his hair.
Yeah.
And then that just murdered the place. Yeah. And they ended the show like that. Yeah. Also, Ben Morrison hosted that show.
Oh, interesting.
And I remember all this shit. And that night, I went home and said to myself, I'm tired of fucking going to live stand-up comedy shows and fantasizing. I'm going to fucking do it.
That sounds
good. And
special.
February 4th, 2009, 1 month later, I did my first open mic at that very same place, the Hollywood Improv. Oh. So, yeah, you never knew that. As all these years I've known you, that show, you were on it, Richard Mom was on it, Ben Morrison, I got inspired to fucking do stand-up.
Well, awesome. You know, we make it look easy. So, you're like, that motherfucker, look at him, he looks like half a retard. Let me get up there.
Yeah. But yeah, man.
Nice. That's nice.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah, well, thank you. Very inspirational.
Yeah.
And then, about a few months later, I was going to a lot of open mics. After enough of the Hollywood Improv mics where I realized you only get on sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the first time I went to a Hollywood Improv, I got lucky, I guess, and I got on.
Yeah.
They got picked. And then the next week I showed up and went like, hey, I was supposed to go. And they're like, oh, you didn't get picked this time. I'm like, oh, I thought you go up every week. And then I started to go like, where can I get on stage? And that's when I found the Haha, actually. Right, it was like a few weeks after that. I'm like, I can get on stage every day here.
And that's where I met you.
And that's where that same day I met Kevin.
Yeah.
But I remember maybe a few weeks, I don't think it was that day, a few weeks later, you came in at the open mic. And I went, oh shit, that's the dude from the improv kill. And you're up there, I'm like, he does open mics? And I was like, he's gonna go up there, he's gonna fucking ruin this room. And then you went up there and you were like, you gotta teach a comedy class.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And then I was like, oh shit, he was just plugging into his comedy class.
Yeah. That's what I would do. I would take I had to go right to the source.
Yeah.
And like pitch it to people. That's how it began in the
beginning. I was fucking 20, bro.
Yeah. Didn't you take my workshop too?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
I wish I did, though.
So many people have.
I took the basics, and then besides that, when you did like the 4 or 6 week course.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it 6 week?
5 week.
5 week course. By that point, I was already working at the hospital.
Yeah, you were working there. You were there for a lot of my workshops.
Yeah.
Like, you knew by the end of it, you could have taught them for me.
Yeah, I knew.
You'd seen it so many times. You knew it inside and out.
Yeah, you really
knew where I was going with everything, which was great. I mean, that's fine. I mean, it was good. You were just there, you know, during all the workshops.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I had to stop because of this game show, because when we first started, I had workshops when we first came back and were writing on the show. And I wasn't a good teacher because I was so tired. Mm-hmm. You know, now I'm much more in rhythm. I understand a lot better, you know. Like, today's a very difficult day for me because I got up at 7 because I wanted to go to the gym before work. The only way to do it is...
Oh, good for you.
If you're going to go to the gym, you got to do it before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to do it.
Not going to go.
I know.
So then I did that. Then I go to the show. Then I'm there till 7. Then I came here. Now I'm going to go, you know, do the show at the Improv.
Right now?
Yeah.
What time?
Oh, in fact, I got to go.
Yeah, we got.
Because I gotta go to the Improv.
What time?
10 o'clock.
Oh, it's 9:30.
But I'm not on till like 11.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm gonna go hit it. Like, some open mic. I'm gonna work on some new shit after this anyway, so it's perfect.
Well, we're all at different levels. So,
hey, listen, bro. I'm not above open mics.
Hey, listen.
He's like, I know.
Exactly. You gotta know where you can get your work in.
Listen.
So, but I mean, so this is a very long day for me. This is gonna be a tough day for me. You know, I'm already up, you know, I'm pushing 16 hours now.
Yeah.
So, but I accept that. That's part of the day. I paced my energy throughout the day to try and be able to do
it. And you still found time to come here and talk with us, man.
Well, here's the thing is, I specifically wanted to.
I really
appreciate
it. Because if I can't go home before the show. If I hit the couch at home,
oh, you're not going to be in the mood to.
I'm done. All right.
I got it.
I'm peeling myself off to go to the show.
Yeah, you would have canceled.
Exactly. I got it. Well, I'm not canceling. But
no, the podcast, not the show.
Right, absolutely, not the show.
He's canceling it right now.
So I got to just keep rolling. Like, if I slow down, it's trouble. So I was like, this is perfect.
I still know
what you mean. Do the podcast, go right back down, do the show, and then I get something to eat and go to sleep. So
but it's really cool because I haven't seen you in a long time. But like, I have at least one question to ask you because you've been doing stand up comedy for so long, especially for viewers listening who want to get into stand up. Where do you think the art of stand-up comedy will evolve to, if it evolves, if it changes, or where it's going to, because you've seen it all, man. You've seen a lot of venues. You've seen a lot of comics.
Yeah.
Do you think that stand-up comedy will change or will always be exactly
how it's like anything else? It's cyclical. Certain things come in and out of style. Observational comedy, in and out of style. Storytelling is now in vogue again, mm-hmm. whereas storytelling was out for a long time. Everybody was being, quote-unquote, autobiographical.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, so it's cyclical like that, you know. I'm sure at some point character comedy is going to come back like it did at the end of the late 80s when everyone was doing a character, the Pee Wee Herman and, you know, Bobcat Goldthwait and Judy Tenuta and you know, Emo Phillips. And so it took on a very character comedy thing that happened.
So these are like cycles that you think
that
just kind of...
So there are cycles, so comedy goes through cycles. And now storytelling has really taken it back to its roots.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because there was so much crossover. There's so many people doing stand-up. There's so much crossover from the observational analytical angle that it was all, you stole this, you stole that, you stole this. And one of the things that I've been preaching for years is that, you know, storytelling is the hardest comedy to steal. It allows you to repackage very well-known tropes in original ways because it's your story. Mm-hmm. You know, it is very hard. You know, if someone steals your story, it's pretty fucking obvious. Believe it or not, I've seen it done. Mm-hmm. But it's
I've seen it done many times.
Yeah, so but it is much rarer than an idea, a concept, or an analysis.
Well, what do you say to the people that don't steal jokes or steal anything, but they come up with something that somebody else has done before and they get called out on it? Like, how would you deal with that?
You know, guys that steal have that rep. Okay. They have that rep. Guys that don't, it's usually just a matter of crossover, you know, parallel thinking, drawing from the same pool of observation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know what happened to me with America's Got Talent. And to be honest, when I saw his bit, I found it jaw-dropping in how similar they were. And I remember telling them,
doesn't know what happened on America's Got Talent.
Well, it's a whole thing. I was accused of stealing a joke. But I wound up taking a polygraph test to prove that I had never seen the guy. And I did that because I never wanted it to be a matter of...
Because that's ridiculous that you would even have to go to that point of taking a
polygraph. But I was getting flamed online. That was my first... I got
that's when you can't let those trolls get you. I mean, like...
First place.
Yeah, he handled it very poorly. And it hurt his
career. They could have just said, like, hey, we think you're doing a similar bit. Like, always assume the guy hadn't seen your bit. If I think someone stole from me,
that's
just
assume they never saw you. The point is, but a lot of people defended me. Because of my work as a teacher, because of my work as a comedian,
yeah.
Because of my reputation as a total crusher and not someone who needs to steal. One guy literally was like, he jumped on the bed, oh, fuck this guy. He's like, oh, shit, it's Greg Wilson? I'm sorry. No, not him. It wasn't him. He would never fucking do that. He's too fucking good at this to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was incredibly well defended by the comedy community, and so I stand by that.
I didn't even know that, man. Yeah. I didn't even think that anybody would even accuse you of doing that. Just because Because you're so natural at it, it feels like you would you're just always speaking your mind.
When I saw these two routines, I was blown away by how similar they were. And here's the thing: is I had accused another comedian of stealing from me, and then I had gone back to him later and was like, you know what, man, I'm sorry. You know what? It's an easy joke for people to think of. I should never have said that. You know, I made peace with him. Then the thing with this goes down with the other guy, with AGT. And I can't. When I saw that comic, I said, I can't tell you how glad I am I made my peace with you before this other shit happened. And wow. I would have looked like such the fucking hypocrite, wow. You know. But I had said to that guy, I'd gone to him personally.
Was
Tyler
Mandel on the show at the time?
Yes, it was.
And now you work with him on the.
And now we see each other on the other show, mm-hmm. You know. But to Howie, that's a transient thought in his mind. I don't blame him. Some producer was telling him it's not his fault. And at the end of the day, Howie was like, he said the words. Two comics can come up with the same bit. Yeah. I think he's great. I'm putting him through. Mm. That's what Howie said. Now, none of this shit fucking aired. Why? Because I got a polygraph test and it ruined the whole fucking thing.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
They thought they had a gotcha moment.
They didn't get you. That's stupid, though.
So they canceled. So they just dumped the whole thing.
I still don't even understand why people do polygraphs anymore because they don't mean for shit anyway.
Well, it depends on who does it.
Yeah.
Because I went out of my way to find like a doctor that does this. I mean, he has like a PhD and an M. Like this. Like he's the guy that courts and law firms send their clients to.
Oh, okay.
And in civil cases, his tests are admissible in court.
And
I went to that guy specifically because no one else I thought would be able to help, because nobody else was that fucking reputable.
Well, what advice would you give a comic who's coming up with a joke and in their mind it sounds so familiar that they're afraid that it might be somebody else's joke?
Research it. Come on, we have the internet. Plug the keywords in, see if it's out there. Look YouTube. It's fucking, if you think it's there, it's probably there. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're riffing and things will come out of you. Robin Williams used to deal with this all the time, riffing things that people are like, hey, that's my joke. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, here's $100. You know?
I heard that he used to pay people right there on the spot.
Yeah. And was he plagiarizing? No, he was riffing. That's the other thing, is we're around each other. We absorb each other's stuff. We see each other. That's why I try not to watch other people's sets anymore.
Kind of like women getting on the same cycle.
Yeah. Huh? It's going in and out of your brain. And nobody wants to admit. Everyone's going to be like, no. Oh, no. Yeah, you would.
Not to mention.
Yeah, you would. If you didn't think that you, a lot of guys think they thought of something, but they're really just remembering something they heard.
That's exactly.
But they don't realize
it. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, this shit happens.
Well, we're all going through the same shit. And you know who
doesn't care? The audience. They don't give a fuck.
Because they're going to laugh at anything, you know?
Yeah, they just want a joke. It only matters to us. And the drama, we don't need the drama.
Well.
Now, if someone has that rep, that person's got to go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And people who steal get the rep.
Yeah.
Because it's a more than one time thing.
Yeah, okay.
It's an over and over thing. All right, well, listen, I got to roll, guys.
I got to go, right. too.
Let's hey, man, dude, up. I'm excited to see your show, man. I'm really excited to see this.
Listen,
really
I want to announce something really quickly. If you guys want to help me out, a couple of you, I'll be in Vegas this weekend.
I was going to ask you, this will be up this week, like by the end of this week.
Okay. On Friday night, August 18th, I'll be at both the Mandalay Bay Casino at the Foundation Room.
What date was that again?
Friday, August 18th.
Okay, this Friday.
This Friday. Mandalay Bay at 9 o'clock, and then I'll be doing the Dirty at 12:30 at South Point, headlining both shows. And then on Saturday night, I will be at the Stratosphere Casino doing the late show at 10. So that's what I'll be doing this weekend. And then also, I've started a new thing.
Okay.
I'm launching a hashtag campaign. It's called @Netflix, hashtag give Greg a damn special.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I've shot a sizzle reel. I've got some celebrity endorsements of them, you know, doing the whole give Greg a damn special thing.
I can't believe that they wouldn't give you one already.
Well, you know what? The thing is, it's hard for me to connect with them.
Yeah.
I've had this, you know, people try and line me up for it, and it's been very difficult because they're very tied in with who's with the major management companies, this numerical thing and all that bullshit. I'm taking my case to the people. You can see the video on my website, GregRomeroWilson.com, or you can just follow me on Twitter @TheGregWilson. And if you want to, please give me a tweet @Netflix, hashtag give Greg a damn special.
I'll hit up my friend. He works over at Netflix.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And @TheGregWilson, so tag us both.
I'm actually upset that you.
That's what I'm trying to do. Cause
I hope you get it, man. There's a lot of specials on there that are great, and I really hope that you get it. And there's a lot of specials on there that are not.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, please, my special will rank.
No, but not only that, I feel like a lot of people deserve to see your comedy because I've seen you so many times and you're fucking hilarious, man.
Thank you, man.
Every single fucking time, like, you could do 16 shows in a row in the same day and you'd still be as fucking funny. It's just like you're this train so that doesn't stop. You're too. So like, fucking
you
funny, man.
You go to the early show, the
you
late
really
show,
are.
Most likely
you're
not going to
see
totally the same material. Totally different shows. It's like shows, fucking man. 3 or 6 hours of material with the Wilson.
So. You're not going to get a guy who just like who feels like he just told the same joke over. Like you're so fucking funny.
You guys
funny,
more
man.
Than Thanks, ever. More than ever right now in this fucking world that we live in where sometimes you think to yourself, I think I might move out of this country.
Right.
You more than ever need to just go and laugh. You don't need to go see somebody Absolutely. Who's political.
And I talk
you don't need
about
to,
that,
you,
yeah.
you don't need to go see somebody who's trending. Yeah. You don't need to go see somebody, well, he has a Netflix special and he doesn't. You need to go see somebody who's just a good old-fashioned fucking...
Good time.
Belly
yeah.
laughs, yeah. cry tear laughter. I highly recommend Greg Wilson. So if you're in Vegas this weekend, go see him and just keep in touch with him so you can see his future shows if you don't make it this weekend.
That's
if,
right.
Or
Follow
if you're
me
not
on
in
Twitter.
Vegas.
That's where I announce all the shows. And throw me that tweet @Netflix, @TheGregWilson.
Come on, guys. Don't let me down.
Give Greg a damn
Don't
special.
Let me down and let Greg think that we don't have the listeners. Yeah.
Give me a lead. I got to get at least 3 out of this. Come on.
Oh, 3 is great. Every open Twitter, you got those 3 notifications.
I usually do a little better than 3.
Okay. Okay. All right, that's good. So I'm going to need a retweet on this podcast. Okay, good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Kevin, thank you. Greg.
Hey,
thank you.
And thanks, Greg, man.
Good to see you. It was great chatting
Super
with
fun.
You. This is an absolutely great episode. I'm so glad that you were able to make it. Greg's gotta go catch a set. I'm gonna go work on some new shit. I've been dying to work on all week. Yeah. This one open mic.
And me and Kev are gonna smoke a J.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Go ahead and do that. Don't forget, guys, the 818 Brewery. Sorry, I have to go back to my sponsor. The 818 Brewery, go try their beer. Go support the Valley. I'm a born and raised Valley son myself, and I'm gonna be there, and we'll be trying some awesome beer. The 818 Brewery, give their beer a shot. So if you're in the Valley, support them. It's at Harry's Bar, Harry's Tavern in Woodland Hills. Go ahead and Google that, but it's just go to the 818 Brewery website to find out all their events, and also benefitpackages.com. Don't forget to get yourself some insurance. You're going to help yourself out. You're going to help my podcast out. It's just everybody wins. Go to benefitpackages.com or call 1-800-356-3615 and tell them that Parishioners Podcast sent you guys. We really appreciate it, and you're going to appreciate it too. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, fuck. I forgot to do my fucking shout-outs. Here we go. Thank you for following Kyle A. or at Cool Kyle Hugh. Okay.
Great shout-outs.
Right. Yeah, man. These
make them feel important, man.
Well, I mean, I don't, second just sticks. In case you didn't get it from Kyle A., I want to give his Twitter handle, too, but it was a little confusing. Cool Kyle Hugh. Shout-out to Chris... or otherwise, Chris Sheehy on Twitter. Thanks for the love, man. Also, shout out, thanks for the follow and the support from Cassius Morris Show at Cassius Show. And thank you for following. These are the Instagram followers for Philly Billy and Pravosleave underscore online.
Sounds great.
Don't forget that.
Oh, shit.
Pravos.
Oh, by the way, am I still on? Are we still reading?
We're still on.
By the way, that's the thing. Everyone that tweets me, everyone that does the Netflix tweet, I'm going to list them in the credits to the special.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really? All, every single one of them. Be long fucking credits, but I want to do it.
Fuck it. Okay.
Every single person is going to be listed in the credits.
Hey, you only have to do 45, and the credits will be like another.
Totally. It'll be an hour and a half special. I don't care.
And also, guys, to my new Facebook fan, Tina Grabner, I think you're awesome too. Thanks so much for supporting me. I really appreciate you. Don't forget on Twitter and all social media, it's Too High McFly. Right on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. No, on Twitter, yeah, Too High McFly.
That's T O O.
Yeah,
and our YouTube too. McFly. Yeah, like from Back to the Future.
Yeah,
and on YouTube.
You got some weed on you?
I don't have any.
Okay, we'll go to my car.
Okay, Too High McFly YouTube page. They're getting up over 60,000 hits right now, guys, on all of our movie reviews and like just the production and everything they've been working on. Thank you, Greg Wilson. Keep in touch with him, guys. Go see him. I'm Augustino Zoid. I see you guys this weekend at the Pasadena Ice House on Saturday the 19th or the weekend of the 24th through the 26th at Ontario Improv. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next time.
Oh, you messed it up! You messed it up! But seriously, Greg, man, it's awesome to see you again, man.
Good to see you too, bro. It's been a while, man.
Alright, man. I'll see you, buddy. Love you, man. Stay married. Yep. Later, bud.